Welcome to Ask the Pastor. The question today is, why does a man seek the Lord? Why does a man seek the Lord? Well, if we think about what the Bible says, first thing they would say, they would read Romans chapter 3, verse number 11, which says, Romans 3, 11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. Now, in Romans 3, he's talking about the natural man. That's the man that we've dealt with just recently about the sin nature inside a person who's naturally inclined to habitually sin because he does what he does because of who he is. But he won't seek the Lord in that condition unless it takes a work of God to awaken him or stir him to move toward God. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, verse number 7, Isaiah 64, 7, and there's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. No man can stir himself up to move toward God. But yet, the Bible says, seek me while I may be found. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6, 33 said, and all these things be added unto you. In other words, he's commanded us to seek, and yet the Bible says there's none seek. Seeks God. Is that a contradiction? No. It's just trying to tell us that the condition. Romans chapter 5, verse number 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength means we're under the anesthesia of sin. And as a result, we have no consciousness toward God until God awakens us. But we're also ungodly. Ungodly means we go against God. We rebel against God because that's our nature to do that within ourselves. So therefore, we're weak for good and strong for evil is what Romans 5, 6 actually says in that sense. But the thing about it is, if we think about that, we're blinded and deceived, and that's true. Every sinner is. We know we talked about that and why we do what we do. And so we're blinded and deceived. But why would a man seek the Lord who's dead in trespasses and sin, as Ephesians 2, 1 said? Because the seed that's planted and awakened. He's planted to have the seed planted inside and awakened by the Lord. Now the seed is the truth. The seed of is the word of God. It's the truth. It's light. The Bible said in John 1, 9, there's a light that lighteth up every man that cometh into the world. Some people say only ones have lights, those who are going to be saved. Listen, God lighted up every man in the world. He gave him creation, he gave him conscience. To know there's a God, if man will respond to that light, God will give him more light. And he'll get in on the things of God if he'll continue on that. But the seed's got to be planted, the word. Bible said in Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Some people want to say that means just all those who are going to be saved is the only one that appears to. Folks, every person today has the grace of God to them. The sun come up, it rained on the just and the unjust, and everybody's got that. And it's been God's been good to us. I mean, you take the person who's the rottenest sinner you can think of. I mean, the Dahmer who cut up all those bodies years ago. Listen, God showed him grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to him. Now, he neglected it, no doubt, and he didn't move down it, but you see, it appeared. That's the truth. It's the seed inside whenever he plants something and awakens you and stirs you to move toward God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, he said, but the natural man, that's the man dead in trespasses and sin, he's not been awakened. He's not been astir. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Means the things of the Spirit of God have to be discerned by the Spirit. Now, a lot of people today who don't have truth, and they still seemingly, they understand some things about God. But now, they do not understand about the things about the Spirit of God. You preach the real truth about real salvation, the Holy Ghost conviction, and godless sorrow. It's got a man's got to have where he works repentance and produces faith in you so that you can believe and repent and believe unto salvation. They don't understand that because they're still the natural man. They're the natural man. They don't seek God. They may think they do, but they don't. They don't seek the Lord. But we seek, a man seeks, if he ever seeks, is because the seed's been planted and awakened. And when seed is conceived in you, and you, then you begin to understand what the Holy Ghost teaches. Or I don't say you'll understand the whole book, but you'll understand what you need. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, he said the word of God is quick. Now, let me say this, and don't misunderstand me what I'm saying. I say that until God quickens something in you, awakens you, then the reading the Bible will be just ink on paper. It'll be a dead book to you. But when God makes it sharp and reaches down in the recesses of your heart, down inside between the soul and the spirit. See, when Adam sinned, his spirit died, and he passed that dead spirit up on all of us. And we've got to realize we're not alive toward God. We're not moving toward God. And so the Word of God gets down in it, and as he begins to prick in the heart, and there are sharp stirs between the soul and the dead spirit, it causes you to say, something's going on. I don't understand what it is. Well, it's God awakening you or stirring you or trying to give you something to move toward God. And yet, man's nature is to rebel and go against that. And so it's just the grace of God that anybody will ever be saved. But still, you every man has grace, every man has light, and the Holy Ghost teaches you. The Bible said in Psalm 25:8, he said that he will teach sinners in the way. He will teach sinners in the good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Now that's the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. When man turns from the broad way to the narrow way, he's on the narrow way that leads to the straight gate. And the straight gate's where salvation is. A lot of people call that turning from the broad way to the narrow way salvation. And then they backslide and then they rededicate back to the narrow way. No. They've never been saved. Few there be that find the narrow way that even lead to the straight gate. And then he said, you need to strive to enter in the straight gate, for many are going to seek. Now, at Luke 13:24, so the many, that's those who've been awakened, that's those who move toward God, and they sought, but they didn't enter because they wasn't willing to pay the price. They turned back. And that's why he said, you're going to have to strive. And that's not works for salvation. That's just simply, if you don't put forth an effort to move toward God, I know, to overcome the works of the obstacles that flesh puts in the way, the world puts in the way, the devil puts in the way, your own family puts in the way, preachers put in the way, the church is putting you away, if you please, a lot of times, because they got error and moving you in the wrong direction. But if you don't strive to get in the narrow gate, you're going to turn back and go back to the broad way and die and go to hell. So God's going to teach you something. Somebody said, well, you don't have to know anything to be saved. God doesn't show a lost man anything. I've had preachers tell me that. Well, I want to tell you that's not so. How are you going to know you're a sinner if God doesn't show you? How are you going to know you need a Savior if God doesn't show you? How are you going to know you need to come to God and how to come to God if God doesn't show you? See, when they had the parable of the seed of the soil of the saints and the sower there in Matthew 13, I've talked about the seed was stone on the bad ground, white wayside, and stony ground, and then thorny ground. But on the good ground were they that understood. So God's got to teach you something about yourself, about your need for Christ. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. She'd went every doctor she could to get healed. No doubt, everything. She'd spent all she had and wasn't any better. But she finally realized, Jesus, my only last hope. And she came to him and he did the work. That's the way it is with salvation. You try it yourself, but you can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No man can pull himself up to take hold of God. And you, the heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know your own heart. And so therefore, you need to let God's word, again, that's why you've got to get under the preaching of the word. That's why God uses human instruments to cross your path. He uses that in everyone who's saved. There's going to be somebody that's going to preach or proclaim the truth to you that crosses your path, and probably more than one somebody. And you may reject it for a while, and it'd be grace. It's the grace of God that brings you back around to it. But he does that, and thank God for that. We've all rejected it at one time or another. But still, why do you seek God? Because God told us to, but yet you can't. Until God plants something inside and stirs inside you and teaches you something that you might move to God, toward God, awakens you and stirs you. And then Peter said on the day of Pentecost, they said that he preached the truth to them. And they said, what shall we do? They were pricked in the heart. That's a conviction. They were pricked in the heart. Basically, he said in the next verse, he preached to them many words. He said, repent first. Then he said, he preached to them many words. He preached to them where they could get the understanding they need. And then he said, save yourself from this untoward generation. That's this wicked generation. That means there's some things you know is right. You need to lay aside. And I know you can't do it with your own power, but I want to tell you, when you begin to desire to do something about it, God will help you. I can't explain exactly how, but the maniac of Gadara, he got to the feet of Jesus. And boy, I tell you, if there ever was a heightened sinner or ever was a chief sinner, well, Paul said he was chief, but then that maniac of Gadara was a pretty close second, I guess you'd say. And every one of us is going to be that before God gets through with you when he brings you to the Lord. But the thing about it is, he got to the feet of Jesus, and something transpired. And the Bible said they found him clothed and seated in his right mind and at the feet of Jesus, wanting to know more. But he knew enough. He understood enough to feel. I don't know how. I can't explain it. They don't tell us all that. We'll be talking about this throughout an eternity. We can sit down and ask him out there. But you say, well, that's bad. I'm not that. Listen, how many sins does it take for you to be condemned to hell? One. You break the law at any point, you're guilty. And the law, you come, and we're not under law, we're under grace. That's right, but you need the law to realize you can't keep the law. Law brings condemnation and death, and it's good and righteous and holy, and it'll back you in the corner and let you see the way out and the way in as Jesus reveals himself to you through a work of the Holy Ghost. And if he gives you handfuls of purpose, if he gives you something, you need to be able to receive it and cry out for God to help you receive it. Cry out to God to let me lay aside some things. And that's not works for salvation. That's simply just coming to the end of yourself, and it takes a work of God. And at that point, then he'll plant down inside, take that old nature, put it on the cross, and then you'll have a new nature, and old things will be passed away. All things will become new. What a day that will be. And that's what you need. That's what every person needs at that time. So we ask the question today is, does a man seek God, or why does a man seek God? Well, he's commanded us to, but he only seeks God because of the fact that he's been awakened, he's been stirred to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows that something's wrong on the inside, and I can't live with myself any longer. And God shows him that. He gets honest with himself. The Bible said the good ground had an honest and a good heart. And so you've got to get honest with yourself, honest with God, and you know, you get honest with those who understand. Now, if you're ever dealing with that, I'd advise you don't tell anybody about it out there that you normally associate with, because most of them will try to get you to say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and say, well, you're saved now. I won't tell you what, you don't need to come under them. You need to get hold of somebody that preaches and practices truth so that you can continue on that road of life, that you might come to the end of yourself and be saved. So why does a man seek God? Why would a man seek God? Well, we can sum it up in one word: grace. Grace. Unmerited, undeserving favor. All because of God. So why does a man seek God? Because the seed's planted and grace has been showered upon them as God took the word and put it down inside and plowed the soil, planted the seed, watered the seed, and brought forth fruit in that good ground, 100-fold, 30-fold, and 60-fold. Save. May the Lord help us to seek the Lord as he works in our life. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.